Thank you for listening to this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more teachings or to subscribe to our podcast, as well as information about our congregation, visit our website at forerunnerfellowship.org.
Well, this is our God of Miracles series, which, man, there's a lot of miracles that we can celebrate and participate in and watch God do and believe for. And today's session title, this is session 23, if you can believe that, in miracles. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a miracle. I can't believe God lets us call him friend. I can't believe God lets us feel him, like feel his presence. I can't believe it. It's mind-boggling to me that little weak humans, I mean, we're like ants to him. It is mind-boggling to me that not only would he permit it, he actually encourages that we would try to reach for him and fellowship with him, that we would encounter him. This is the greatest news ever, because this means no matter what kind of day you're having or whatever things going on in life, this is still a reality. This is still something that's on the table for us. So today, I'm going to teach a little from the Word. I'm going to give some practical instructions about, you know, how we can participate in what this is. I'm hopeful today to be able to provide some help, some clear instruction about what it is that we can do to increase in fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So I can't hardly do a series on miracles and not talk about the presence of God and the miracle of encountering the presence of God, the miracle that God would allow his presence to even get near us. I mean, have you met us? Like, it's mind-boggling to me. This is a crazy idea. So today we're going to talk about what it is to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. This is, some of you might refer to this as getting oil. You know, the Matthew 25, the parable of the 10 virgins, and five were foolish and five were wise. And the five that were wise were the ones that knew how to get oil in their lamps. And some of you, you know, might call this your devotional life with the Lord. You know, that's another terminology you could use. That's okay. But one of the terms that the scripture uses related to what this looks like in the daily life of the believer is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, what I want to do before we jump into fellowship with the Holy Spirit, I want to talk about that term fellowship for a few minutes. I want to talk about what it is and what it isn't. Fellowship is not people getting together in the natural sense, in just the human relation sense. Fellowship is not two Christians in a room talking about the TV show last night. I mean, there's two Christians in a room. That's good. Fellowship is centered around Jesus Christ. Fellowship is activity, conversation, worship centered around Jesus. And so I've got a lot of Christian friends, and sometimes we're fellowshipping together, and sometimes we're just together. But I want to make sure we understand that this concept of fellowship, it's involving the Lord. It's involving who he is, what he's about, what he's doing in our lives. It's a focused interaction, dialogue. The children love this message. The children are loving it. It's a focused interaction with the Lord, you know, about the Lord. It could be with each other, could be with him. So I'm going to give you guys a couple of the verses that describe the activity of the church in the first century. Let's put up that Acts 2:42 verse. Yeah, there it is. This verse and the surrounding passage is the foundation verse for this church. It's who we are, what we're about, and what we're trying to accomplish. But I'm going to just pass over that and just do the fellowship thing. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They devoted themselves to fellowship. That wasn't they devoted themselves to being friends and hanging out together. That's the starting point, but it doesn't qualify unless there's this concept of the believers together in activity, in conversation, in relationship related to the Lord. That could even be just two dudes in a room that know the Lord that are just in his presence. That could count. But I would just want to give you guys what the early church, this defining factor of fellowship. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. What fellowship can light have with darkness? There's this concept of the believing community what bonds us together in fellowship is actually the fact that we've got Jesus, light. We've got the light of the Lord in us. We've got the righteousness of God in us. Galatians 2:9 says, James, Cephas, and John, those esteemed as pillars, gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. This is talking about intimate, close friendship relationship in Christ. And I'll just tell you, I had some really close friends before I came to know the Lord. I mean really close friends. They pale by comparison to an abundant of friends that I have now that maybe I don't get to spend as much time with, but I have far more in common with. I have something far more common with, the depth of Jesus in our souls. This concept of fellowship in the New Testament church was talking about the believers together in the relationship that they shared with Christ. This is conversations. It's what the Lord's doing. At times of worship. It was times of even just silence together. It was times celebrating and giving thanksgiving. It was corporate times together. It was two or three at a table. They're eating lunch together, celebrating the fact that they've got God in their lives. It's bringing him into the conversation. It's bringing him into their lives. Well, because I'm a teacher, and sometimes I get in teacher mode and I can't help myself, we're talking about fellowship. We're going to get to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but I want to give us some defining parameters of what this word fellowship means, okay? We just talked about what it means to fellowship with one another. The New Testament actually refers to the fact that there are those, and I've seen this, some of you maybe have as well, that fellowship with demons. Now, that's not a good thing. But I think it's an important piece of understanding because it starts to help us to get the concept you can fellowship with a non-human like you can fellowship with a human. You can fellowship with spirits. That's a really intense idea, but here it is, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 20. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. Now, this is Paul describing an important principle. He's kind of giving a little snapshot of an important principle. There are spirits. The Holy Spirit's a good one. There are spirits, and our human spirit has the capacity to fellowship, have intimate connection with, have unique nearness with, have interaction with, have encounters with. Our human spirit has the capacity to encounter spirits and to fellowship with them. And Paul says here, you want to be careful that you don't find yourself giving over to the fellowship of demons. Okay? That's really ugly. And again, this is a real thing in life. There are those that do this. Well, let's get on to the good stuff. The fullness of God living within us. When I think about this, it blows my mind every single time I stop and meditate on the following concept. 5'8 of me, okay? Not so tall. God who created the universe because he said, let there be, lives inside Brad Stroop. That is bizarro. I don't even, he's in here. When I gave my life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came to live in me. How did I not explode? Every second since then, how did I not explode again? How is this possible? Let's read what the word says. John 14, 17. The Spirit of truth, you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. In you. He's going to get in you. Man, if you got anything in you, you better hope it's the Holy Spirit. Because you don't want anything else in there. Holy Spirit gets in me. God in me. That is the craziest idea I can imagine. Romans 8:9 says, similarly, you are in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. Just a little side point. If any of you in this room don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you don't belong to Christ. It's an easy fix. Die to yourself, give your life to Jesus, boom! Now you got the Spirit of Christ. But if any of you go, I don't know if I got the Spirit of Christ in me, you're still lost. This is actually really good news because it's really simple to self-identify. It's so simple. You just go, well, do I have God living in me? No. Okay, well, then you don't belong to Christ yet. Give your life to Christ and the Holy Spirit will come and live in you and you'll be a new creation. This is a really, really good news moment for you. So any of you who are in the room are like, yeah, I think I would fail that test. Let's read it again. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ living in you, you can have him. You do, however, have to lay down your life and give yourself over to him. But if you'll do that, you will have this mind-blowing reality occur in you as well. The Spirit of the living God living inside 5 foot, 6 foot, 4 foot, whatever you are, you. Living in you. The Holy Spirit living in you. Here's why this is so crazy to me. It's impossible for God, Genesis 1 created everything God, to live in you and that have zero impact and zero ramification and zero implication and zero opportunity. If God lives in you, you got it made. Your world is different. And you now have access to things you didn't have access to before. Amen. If God lives in you, you have access to God. Amen. God's in you. He can't get any closer. This is mind-boggling. If the Spirit of God lives in you, how could he get closer than that? He's in your guts. He's floating around in there. He's in there. He's in there. Draw closer. Get closer. He's like, how? I'm in you. What do you want from me? Now, if what we mean is, let me feel you more, that's different than be closer. He can't get closer, but he can turn the light switch on. This room has a light switch over there, and you can turn it off or you can turn it on, but it's got power running through the lines. Either way, okay? All we got to do is turn the light switch on. So if when we say, God, draw closer, what we really need to be praying is, Lord, let me feel that you're close, because you couldn't be closer. Closer is not an option for you. You are all up in the chili, okay? Let me feel your presence. Let me feel your peace. Let me feel your nearness. Turn that light switch on, if you will. Help me to feel you, because you're real and you're good. And I'll just tell you this. If God lives in you, you can feel him. He's God. God, if God lives in you, you can feel him. We all know what it is to feel the anxiety and the ache out there, don't we? We all know what it is to feel wronged, betrayed, lied to, hurt. We all know those feelings, right? You know, God made your emotions. That wasn't an accident. It's not like he had a moment like, oh, no, I gave him emotions. They're out wild and out of control now. He created you as emotional beings so that you could feel stuff. You're supposed to feel stuff. We're supposed to temper it. We're supposed to figure out how to operate in wisdom and not let our emotions run the show. But our emotions are part of the show. He wrote your emotions into the show. It's act two. We want to figure out how to feel God. That's important, because you sure are going to feel a lot of other stuff. He wants us to feel him. Look at this. This is 2 Corinthians 13:14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, we got done talking about fellowship a minute ago and what it is and what it isn't. You wouldn't accidentally fellowship. You wouldn't have fellowshipped and not known it. Was that fellowship? I don't know. Was it? When you're fellowshipping with somebody or something, there's intentionality, there's sweetness, there's reality. This is what the Word of God says. Paul, praying for Corinth, this is him praying for the church of Corinth. He says, guys, I know you're up against a lot. There's persecution, there's idol worship, there's all kinds of stuff around you. I am asking for your sake that the grace of the Lord Jesus would rest on you. I'm praying that the fellowship of the Holy Spirit would be with you, because you need it, because you won't make it without that help. Friends, we need to go on a journey, if we don't already know how to do this, of what does it mean to fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Because it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. And I'll just get down to like the brass tacks. It's feeling God and responding to that feeling in right ways. That's not the wholeness of it, but that's a good portion of it. We need to be able to feel God, because I am telling you, we sure do feel all the other stuff. And part of what renews us is fellowshipping with God, with light, with truth, with the Holy Spirit. And as we fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we're transformed. I just got to take a little stop point here. When I came to know the Lord, I didn't know there was such a thing as fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I knew there was such a thing as read your Bible. And boy, was I committed. I was reading my Bible 6 hours a day because I wanted as much as I could get, because I thought that was the only way you could get God. I was convinced the only way to get God was read the Bible. And since I was reading the Bible 1 hour and I wasn't getting as much God as I wanted, I'd read the Bible 2 hours. And I was reading the Bible 6 hours a day because I wanted more God. You can get God from reading the Bible, especially if you do it devotionally. You're not just trying to get through the chapters like check mark, read my chapters today. It's not really as helpful as it could be. But there's something even more than just reading the Bible. You need to read the Bible. But there's this thing called fellowshipping with a person called the Holy Spirit who happens to live in you, so you never have to track him down. He lives in you and you can fellowship with him. He's real. He's realer than your friend or your mom. The Holy Spirit is realer. Realer. And he lives in you and he wants to fellowship with you. He wants you to encounter him. He wants to encounter you. This is the greatest blessing that humanity could ever know. Not just that we would be saved and live forever, but that while we're living in this life, we could encounter God forever. Yeah. Encounter him, not just be servants, not just at a distance, that I belong to God. I'm in his, you know, his camp. I belong to his corporation. I can fellowship with him. Look at this verse, Philippians 2:1. If you have any encouragement from being united in Christ, any comfort from his love, any fellowship with the Spirit, any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded. I love this verse because Paul talks about it like it's so normal. He's like, you know, if you got any of the normal stuff that Christians got, i.e. fellowship with the Holy Spirit, if any of you have felt his presence like a normal Christian would feel his presence, if any of you have experienced the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, then listen to me because I've got some instructions that are going to be helpful for you. He throws it in there like it's so normal. Guys, I want to tell you this. I think it's supposed to be so normal that we fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's not weird. It's not unbiblical. It's straight up New Testament Bible. But I think where we put that at bay, where that seems odd to us, or we've never experienced that, or we experienced it, didn't know what it was, or we don't like that word. By the way, if you've got an issue with words in the Bible, take that up with the one who wrote them, okay? Otherwise, I just say, get with it, and just go, God, I don't get it. I got some prejudices here, but help me. I think we need to get past whatever it is that's in the way so that fellowship with the Holy Spirit is just normal. It's like Bible reading. Hey, did you read your Bible today? Yep. Did you fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Yep. Did them both at the same time, actually. Was reading the Bible, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. Booyah. Gotcha. I think this needs to be such a normal part of life. And I'll just tell you this. It's transformational. When we learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit, when we learn to quiet down and feel his presence, it changes us. Because God gets so much more real. And I don't know about you. The reality of God helps me stay steady. The current active revelation, God is real, God is with me, God is good, God cares, God is watching. The current revelation of that. Not, I had the revelation of that a year ago or 10 years ago, that God is real, but I feel it now, God is real. He's watching, he likes me, and he cares. That has such a help in my heart to keep me steady on the things that matter. It helps me repent of stuff quicker. It helps me care about what is right. It helps me deter myself away from wrong. It helps me. The living reality. And so if we can walk in such a way that God is real to us day to day, not, oh, I went to that conference that one time and I encountered the Lord. We need encounter with the Lord from a biblical basis, a biblical standpoint, to be normal. Well, let me give you some interactions with the Holy Spirit that the Bible talks about. Because you need to know what the Bible says so that you can know what is very much in bounds. There's a lot of things that might be out of bounds. Don't do those things. But there's a lot of things in the Bible that are inbounds, that are part of what it means to have an active relationship with the Holy Spirit. I just want to give you this for a second. I want you to walk away from here today, not with accusation, with a question. How close am I with the person of the Holy Spirit? I know the Father. I know the Son. How close is my relationship with the Holy Spirit? And ask yourself that question and begin to go on a journey. And if you're like, well, I don't know. I guess it's the same. If you don't know, if you don't have language, that's okay. Just don't stay that way. Start to ask the Holy Spirit to help you to grow in relationship with him. Because you can't fellowship with the Holy Spirit if you don't know him. And I don't mean know of him. We all know of him. I don't mean we've had those moments. We've all had those moments. I don't mean you don't know a few Bible verses. We got that too. I mean know him. It's one thing to know things about a person. It's another thing to know a person. Very, very different. Let's go on the journey of growing in that intimate interaction with the Holy Spirit. So here, let's give some inbounds, ways, expressions of fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. One is his presence touching our hearts. Let me read you a couple of verses. This is Psalm 119, 161, and 162. You got to love a psalm that's got 160 verses in it. Psalm 119, 161 through 162. My heart trembles at your word. I rejoice in your promise like one who finds great spoil. Let's put up that other verse and then we'll go back to that one. Do the Luke 24. Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us? All right, put the 161 back up there. Okay, so between these two verses, we've got this. The heart trembling. You know what? That's not poetic language. We read the Psalms sometimes, and because of our lack of experience, we just dismiss all the words and make them mean nothing. A heart trembling is exactly what it sounds like. Your heart is going, something inside's happening, and it's in here, and it's trembling, and you're kind of like a little unnerved by it. It's like, what am I having a mini heart attack right now? What is occurring? Because I feel a trembling inside of me that I'm not making happen. I'm not like, turn the tremble button on. You're encountering the Lord and feeling an inner tremble. Sometimes it happens when we read the Word of God. Sometimes, not every time that I read the Word of God does this happen, but on occasion I'm reading the Word and something strikes me and I feel my heart trembling. Do you realize that's fellowship with the Holy Spirit? You're encountering the Holy Spirit. The dudes walking down the road from Emmaus, they said, Luke 24 verse, put that one back up there. So we're not our hearts burning within us as we talked, as he talked with us on the road and he opened the scriptures to us. This is the disciples walking back after Jesus has resurrected, but he's disguised, he's veiled. They don't know that it's Jesus with their eyes, but somehow they know that it's Jesus with their hearts. Jesus is talking, and afterwards they look at each other, they go, hey, bro, I just want to be real. When he was talking, were you feeling something? I was feeling something. Yeah, like a burning in your heart. It felt like heartburn, bro. I was feeling heartburn. That man was talking, he was saying words, and something spiritual was happening inside of my guts. I was feeling burning inside of me. It's the presence of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to tell us, it's very much in bounds for us to have encounters with the Holy Spirit where we feel trembling or burning inside of our insides here, in our chest, in our guts. That's in bounds, big time. I mean, I don't know about you, but if we can see in the Word that that's God, I want it. I want whatever he'll give me. If it's biblical, I want it, 10 times out of 10. Next, waves of his presence hitting us. This is not as warm and fuzzy as the last one we read. I want to read you Psalm 42, verse 7, and other verses may say it better. The psalmists, by the way, are the priests, the ones that wrote the Psalms. They're the priests that are spending lots of time in the presence of God in the 24/7 house of prayer that David built and then Solomon kept going. It's a 24/7 house of prayer where the presence of God was felt thick very often. Look what the psalmist writes here in Psalm 42. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. all your waves and breakers have swept over me. This isn't warm, fuzzy language anymore. This isn't trembling inside. This is, I'm getting hit with waves and breakers from God. This is something happening to the psalmist. He's saying, there's something in me, deep within me, is crying out to the deep within you. And then I start to feel like waterfalls and waves hitting me. That's what he's describing. Now we read it, it makes for a cool song. We have no idea what we are reading. This is the psalmist describing encounters with the Holy Spirit, saying, your waves and your breakers, they're sweeping over me. What else could this mean? We've made this mean absolutely nothing. You know, your waves and your breakers, it's like God. It means nothing. He's describing as best as he can encounters with the Holy Spirit. He's going, I feel God's presence. The deep within me is crying out to the deep for God. And then I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I feel like waves are hitting me. Waves, like my body is getting hit by waves and breakers and waterfalls rushing over me. It's experiential. Next, let's look at Psalm 96, verse 9 and 119, verse 20. Now, this describes not shaking on the inside. This describes shaking on the outside. Look at this. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him. Okay, now let me tell you what this isn't. This is not this. All right, hey, 200 of you come in here. Everybody stand in rows and then fake shake. Everybody go, oh, God, you're getting me. That's dumb. And that is not what we are reading. This is talking about the priests coming into the presence of God, and the presence was so thick, they're trembling and they can't stop it. They're looking at their hand going, hand, quit it. Hand, for real. And they're trembling in his presence. Not because they were told they had to or because they're trying to be spiritual. They're in the presence of God and they were shaking because God's presence was, whoa, the light was on. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. You ever had one of those moments? A fear of God moment, maybe a fear of God moment to the 10th degree where you were shaking because of it. I've had a couple of times like that where I was encountering the Lord in a way that I knew it mattered. This moment matters. My response matters. What I do here matters. And I was feeling his presence in such a way I was trembling in his presence. I just go back to, how could we encounter God and it not impact our flesh in some way? I mean, he's God, like a billion volts electricity God. And he touches us and we're like, oh, ain't no thing. I got this. You just touched lightning. I mean, a little trembling is a reasonable response. And maybe even a whole lot of trembling. You know, there's varying degrees of how this stuff works. Sometimes it's a little bit on the light and fluffy scale, and sometimes it's not so light and fluffy. Trembling before the Lord. There it is, right there in the Word. 2 Chronicles 13:14 talks about the weight of his presence causing you to be even immobile. Look at this. Then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud. What's the cloud? It's the Holy Spirit. And the priests could not perform their services because of the cloud. The Holy Spirit came in the room in such a way, in such a manifest presence, in such a thickness, they couldn't do their priestly jobs. Now, here's the real problem. Who assigned the priestly jobs? God. God's presence came into the room so thick, these godly men couldn't do the godly stuff God told them to do. There's a real conundrum. God's presence so thick, you just see these guys on the floor like trying to crawl across the floor to get the thing done. It's like we couldn't. I gave up. After 30 minutes of trying, I just flat gave up. The weight of the Lord's presence being so heavy, godly men who know what they ought to do and carry the responsibility of the priesthood don't do their godly job, not because they were just on a holiday. They could not. So I want to tell you, it's very much in bounds to have encounters with the Holy Spirit where you can't do diddly squat, where the presence of the Lord is resting on you in such a way, not only do you not want to move from it, you can't. And all various forms in between. Peace of God. We talked about this during our ministry time. I love this one. This to me is like my go-to all week long. Every time I get a bad phone call. I mean, like, I go to this all the time. Let's look here at the peace and the rest of God resting on us. Matthew 10, verse 13. Look at this. I just like this idea. This is a really powerful idea. If the home is deserving, Jesus told his disciples, let your peace rest on it. And if it's not, let your peace return to you. This verse doesn't mean nothing. We've made it mean nothing. You know, like, bless it. Hey, my peace is here. No, it actually means you as a disciple of Jesus, with the peace of God resting in your heart by the presence of the Holy Spirit, you have the power to walk into a room that does not feel peaceful and bring the peace of God into the room. Furthermore, depending on how things go and where things are at, Jesus says there are even circumstances where you can let your peace rest on that lost person's house. These were lost guys. He says, if the house is deserving, let your peace rest on it. And if it's not, taking that peace with me, I'm out. That's a really interesting concept if you've never thought about it before. This means that there is such a thing as tangible peace resting on the frame of a human being, even to the point that it's discernible by others. You catch that? The peace of God. This is a really big deal. Look at the rest of the verses. Romans 8, verse 6. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You can have your mind governed by the Spirit. And when you do, the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. You can grow, you can increase, you can feel the peace of God. That's part of the reason we did the ministry time the way that we did today. I'm trying to help train us in something. You don't have to accept anxiety. You can tell it to go in Jesus' name and get the peace of God instead. You don't have to accept fear. No, you don't understand. We're all going to die. That may be. But you don't need to be afraid. You can have the peace of God and we all die. You can either die in fear or in peace. I'm choosing peace. It doesn't change your circumstances. It transcends your circumstances. It transcends everything. I just want to walk around with the peace of God in my life. Whether you're fretting and flustered, whether I'm having this happen or that, whatever the bank account says, I want to walk in the peace of God. And what that ultimately is fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. It's feeling his peace resting on me so that a complaining moment, a difficult circumstance, problems all around, I don't have to feel it. I can feel God instead because I have God living in me. And I promise you, God living in you is bigger than whatever problem you faced today. God living in you. God. Billion volt God. Versus 1 volt problem. It's so bad. No, it's really not that bad. It's really not. You have God living in you. Let's learn to fellowship with the Holy Spirit so we can feel his peace instead of anxiety and pain and doubt and fear and all the yuck. We have God. We don't have to live like lost people. Lost people are stuck with fear. They're stuck. They have to go to a self-help seminar to try to talk themselves out psychologically so they don't have that problem anymore. You don't have to do that. You have God. You get the shortcut. God, let your peace rest on me. I refuse that anxiety. I'm not going to give myself to fear. I'm not going to give myself to worry or doubt or complaining or division. I'm going to feel God because I've got God in me. I'm a child of God, and I like God, and God likes me, and I'm going to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Guys, it really can be this simple. It really can be. The kingdom of God, Romans 14, verse 7, is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. The kingdom of God is a matter of peace, and the kingdom of God is a matter of joy in the Holy Spirit. You're part of the kingdom of God if you've given your life to Jesus. That means you don't belong to the world. You belong to the kingdom. And you know what the definition of the kingdom, the way that the kingdom is? The matter of the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. You have access to these things. You can feel the peace of God. Well, let's go one level more, because, man, we just touched on something else, the joy of the Holy Spirit. I like peace, but joy is next level. I like peace, but I love joy. I love joy. Because peace, you can still be kind of like, But joy, you're like, oh! And oh, feels better to me. I don't know. You do you. You go your way, whatever. But there is such a thing as joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's talk about what this looks like. Luke 10, verse 21. At that time, Jesus, full of joy through the Holy Spirit, said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. How big was his smile when he said it? It wasn't a little one. I mean, this is Jesus Christ, Son of God. And it says of this moment of Jesus in this particular prayer, it says he was full of joy through the Holy Spirit, even more than yesterday. Full of joy. I want to be full of joy from the Holy Spirit. I appreciate being full of joy because of good circumstances. That's not ultimately what I want. I am thankful for this building, but this building can come and go. But being full of joy from the Holy Spirit, that's up to me. See, that's not somebody takes or gives. That's not about circumstances. Full of joy from the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6. You welcome the message in the midst of severe suffering with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Now, let me just say this to you. I'm just giving you a couple of verses on joy. And the joy of the Holy Spirit specifically. Not you've talked yourself happy. That's also a godly thing to do. Okay, it's better to talk yourself happy than to complain. I'm talking about joy that comes from God, not joy that comes from you. Joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. This is powerful. This is transformational because it doesn't matter how bad your day is or how mean that meanie was. They were so mean. You can have joy from the Holy Spirit. Now, just a real simple concept here. I don't know exactly what Bible verse to point to on this, but there's got to be level 1 joy, 2 joy, 10 joy, and 100 joy. What happens if you're experiencing level 100 joy? I'll tell you this, you're probably laughing. I'll just give that to you. I'm not talking about 1, 2, 10. I'm talking about 100 level joy. You're probably laughing and maybe even out of control. You are maybe quite the fool if you're experiencing the joy of the Lord, not level 1 or 2 or 5. You're experiencing the joy of the Lord up here. You could find yourself in a laughing fit that nobody could talk you down from because you're experiencing the joy of the Lord. I want to tell you, that's in bounds. That's part of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll tell you what, I don't ask the Lord to embarrass the snot out of me. I don't say, Lord, I cannot wait to be embarrassed and look like a fool today. But I have learned, however, to not fight him when he's doing whatever it is he wants to do. I'll just give you another real safeguard. You can't get something else by asking more of God. If you go, God, I want more of you, it's not like you get a demon. God, I want more of you. I want to encounter more of you. So now all of a sudden, your flesh is just going to start acting out and being totally, ridiculous and out of bounds. You can't get something else by asking God for stuff. You get God when you ask for God. I mean, doesn't that just make sense? Isn't that pretty simple? So if you're saying, Lord, fill me with joy, and you find yourself in a moment where you're experiencing the Holy Spirit in a way you never have before, and you're saying, God, give me more of you, it's God. And furthermore, it's in bounds. See, we need to learn that it's okay to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to share a few stories of my own. I don't know how many times, and you're in this boat too, you've been in corporate worship and you felt his presence more than when you were singing the same worship song in the car on the way here, right? It's the corporate presence of God. That's part of fellowship with the Holy Spirit. It's part of fellowship that we have with each other. We feel the presence of God because John's got the Holy Spirit in him, Vina's got the Holy Spirit in her, Chasey's got the Holy Spirit living in her, and when we get together, we feel his presence together because I don't know how it's more, but I don't exactly understand how all that works, but there's a power in coming together to worship that we experience his presence at an increased level. That's powerful. That's part of fellowship with the Holy Spirit, feeling his presence. Many times I'll get quiet. I'll just quiet and I'll just go, Lord, I love you. And I'll just sit there and I'll just focus on him. And I'll start to feel his presence. Many times it's not so thick, it's not so crazy. but I feel his presence. I feel his presence resting on me. I can feel it in the drive-thru at Starbucks. I can feel it at home. I can feel it in a worship service. It doesn't matter where you are. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. I do this all the time. I go, Holy Spirit, just let me feel your nearness. Feel your nearness, not get nearer. He's as near as he can be. Holy Spirit, let me feel your nearness. And I'll start to feel his presence resting on me. Guys, that's game-changing when the day was harsh. That's game-changing when you were just on the phone in a really frustrating conversation. Lord, I just want to feel your presence. You're God. I'm yours. You like me. Holy Spirit, come and let me feel your presence. Guys, you have access to that. You have God living in you. I just wonder how many of us are going to show up before the throne and the Holy Spirit, in whatever way he shows himself, just looks at us like, what were you doing down there? Oh, I was just going through the motions. It's hard down there. I was inside of you. Why did you never talk to me? Well, you know, it sounded weird. Are you being for real right now? It sounded weird, so you passed up a lifetime of encountering me because it sounded a little weird? What is wrong with you? What were you doing down there? You had access to my peace, my joy, my presence. Every day you had access. What did you do with it? Well, it just seemed so weird. I got busy. You got busy, so you didn't do the greatest commandment? You got so busy, you didn't fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Let's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Not because we have to, because it's the best. Because it's life-saving, it's life-giving. Because he's God. Needing his peace often, that Philippians verse that we prayed during the ministry time. Guys, I don't know how many times in the course of a week, I'll pray it for myself, I'll pray it for somebody around here. I'll say, Lord, just let your peace rest on this person. His peace is so good. His peace can turn the tide in your emotions. How many times, think back over a circumstance or 20, how many times were your emotions telling you, this thing is the worst, we're all gonna die? And did you die? How did it really turn out? Yeah, somewhere down around here. What does that mean? It means our emotions are very much involved in our life. I would rather feel the peace of God than those lying emotions when those emotions are in fact lying. I would rather feel the peace of God all the time. I pray that all the time. I got saved and I had the wildest encounter with the Lord. I was an atheist. I didn't believe in God. I thought that God was just such a made-up idea. I was convinced that was just something that people believed in because they needed some sort of moral compass. They needed some sort of institution in order to be able to rally together. I thought the concept of God was totally ridiculous until I encountered him, or he encountered me. I remember the night that I encountered the Lord for the very first time. My friend had dared me. He said, Brad, you're so arrogant, you won't ask God for help. But if you ask God for help, he'd come and help you. And that night I went home and I prayed for the first time, and my prayer was not sincere at all. I was trying to prove my friend wrong. And I knew that he wouldn't leave me alone unless I prayed the prayer. So I went home and I prayed and I said, God, if you're there, I don't really believe, I'm talking to the air right now, but whatever, if you're there, my friend says you can help me, so help, bye. And as soon as I said bye, as an atheist that was not looking to have an encounter with God, I was looking to be able to prove my friend wrong. I felt the presence of God fall in my bedroom as an 18-year-old that was an atheist. What's crazy is, having no theology, no understanding, no nothing, I felt his joy resting on me. I began laughing out loud uncontrollably. That's how I gave my life to Jesus. So forgive me if I'm filled with joy all the time. I gave my life to Jesus right there. I feel the joy of the Lord resting on me, and I'm like, you're real. Whoa, wow, didn't see that one coming. And now I'm filled with such joy, I am laughing uncontrollably. I don't mean like a funny joke and you can kind of calm it down. I am uncontrollably laughing. That was my first encounter with the Lord. I want to tell you, laughter is in bounds. It's part of the package that God gives. Not every person, every time, all day, but there are places and times where the Holy Spirit encounters us. with such joy that we just laughed. Now, what's really funny about me, sometimes I'm a slow study. It's about a year and a half, 2 years later, something like that, and I'm going to a conference. And I'd been to this conference once before, and I saw people laughing, and they just looked stupid drunk. They just looked silly. And I was like, this is so weird. You guys are weird. This is not the Lord. And I had such, I just want to be honest, having been saved, walking with the Lord for a year or two, I had such judgment in my heart. I was straight up judging those that laughed, and because it just looked so foolish and not God to me, because I was so smart. And I went to this conference again, a year later or whatever, and I said, Lord, I don't want to find myself in a position where I'm judging something that's really you. So I need you to help me this trip at this conference, because I'm probably going to see some of those loons again. And I need you to help me. If that's real, please show me. If that's real, help me to know that that's real so that I wouldn't judge the laughter and the shaking and that just so looks so weird to me. If that's real, show me. So I went on this trip. I was by myself at this conference. And I'm in one of the times of worship, and I've got my hands up, and I'm worshiping the Lord, and all of a sudden, I start to feel my hands shaking, and I'm looking at them. And I'm like, hands, please stop shaking, and they start shaking more. And I was like, oh, no, you don't, and I grab this one, and now I'm shaking. I start to feel the presence of the Lord resting on me. I don't think it's happening to anybody else. Start resting on me so heavy, I literally fall down, and I cannot stand up underneath it. And I am trying. I am braced. I am down. And I am on the ground, and all of a sudden, I am shaking. Boy, howdy, am I shaking. And I cannot stop. And I'm going, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, shaking thing. I'm trying everything I can to get up off the ground and stop shaking. And I hear the Holy Spirit just go, just stop. Just stop. I go, how can this be you? This is ridiculous. And he didn't answer. He just turned the volume up. And now I'm shaking so much. I want to tell you this. If I was sitting where Sweet Rhoda is right there, I kicked three rows of chairs out of the way. The one I was in, the one behind me, and the one in front of me. This went on for 45 minutes. I am on the ground shaking crazy. Now, I got to tell you this. After I have tried as hard as I can to not shake for like 20 minutes, and I am exhausted. If you tighten your arm like this for 30 minutes, you've lost all your strength. And the reason I'm doing it is I'm trying to fight this. I'm trying to stop it. I want this to stop. And I'm telling the Lord, stop, stop. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, no. And then I just said, fine, I'll be your fool. And I stopped fighting, and I just flopped around on the floor. And then the joy of the Lord hit me when I finally gave in. And I started to laugh uncontrollably in the most wild way for about 30 minutes. I experienced the joy of the Lord in a way I don't know that I've ever felt the joy of the Lord like that before in my entire life or since. And it was obnoxious. And it was a real scene. I caused quite a scene. But I got up off the floor after an hour, and I was still kind of like, oh God, I just need to lay down. And I look around at the giant mess that I made. And I lean over, I'm trying to put my chair back, and there was a sweet couple that was sitting on the row behind me that their row had been knocked back. And I leaned over, and as soon as I got up off the floor, they looked at me, and they saw me get up, because, I mean, this has been going on right in front of them for like 45 minutes or an hour, okay? As soon as I get up off the floor, they're like, oh, honey, look, he's getting up. And I look up, and as soon as I look up and catch eyes with them, they stick their hands in the air like they'd been worshiping. And I was like, yeah, whatever. And I lean over, and I go, psst, psst. And they leaned over, they go, yeah, yeah. I go, I'm an intern at a church that doesn't believe in this stuff. And as soon as I said it, the whole row started laughing hysterically. And then they were laughing for 10 or 15 minutes. It was so funny and great. And okay, should you try to make that happen? I don't even know how you'd try. I just want to tell you this. We want what the Lord will give us, and we don't want to fight him. If he wants to cause us to laugh, I can tell you that's a good thing, not a bad thing. If he wants to give us his peace, we want as much of his peace as we can get. If he wants to send his breakers, his waterfalls rushing over us, we want to encounter the Lord. Listen, I signed up to know God. I signed up to know him according to his word. I don't want to know him in ways that are not biblical. I want to know him in ways that are biblical. I don't want to just go after emotions and willy-nilly. I want to encounter God. I want everything he'll give me. I think you do too. Part of the reason I planned this session, I want to give you permission to reach. Part of it, some of you in the room are like, I've had something like that happen. I wondered what that was. Some of you in this room are like, I am leaving here and I am never coming back. I want to encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit why that would be. If right now you've got judgment in your heart about any of this stuff I just told you, just ask the Lord. Say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Lead me into all truth. Speak to me. Help me. I can tell you this. As I have continued to reach for the Lord, I continue to get to encounter more of him, and it's made me more balanced, not less balanced. It's made me more godly, not less godly. It's made me more joy-filled, more capable. When I first gave my life to the Lord, I was hearing Caitlin talk about this the other night. This was great because I totally understand the context. I got saved in a context that what relationship with the Lord meant was how much can you serve him? That's what relationship looked like in that context that I was experiencing. How much can you serve him? I want to serve you, God. I want to serve you, God. It wasn't about friendship. It wasn't about being a son. It was all about serve God, serve God. And that's a huge part of the kingdom. It's a real deal. The more I fellowship with the Lord, the more I can serve God. I can actually do things I couldn't do year 1 to 10. And it's not because I got older in Christ. It's because my bandwidth has expanded within me because I know how to encounter the Lord. I know how to get oil in my lamp. I know how to experience him and feel him and hear him. Guys, as believers, we want to encounter the Holy Spirit. We want to grow in our fellowship with the Holy Spirit because the more that we do, the more that we get to feel him, the more our lives make sense. So here's what I want us to do. I want to leave us with this verse, Ephesians 3:16. This is a way we combat the weights of the world. You can't help the fact that the weights of the world are coming. You can't help the fact that problems are coming, disappointments are coming, things that you thought, things you didn't think, things you wanted, things you didn't want. It's a mixed bag of nuts. You just got all kinds of stuff going on. It's life. What you can do is aim your heart at increased measure of encounter with the Lord. Look what this says, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner man. You know what that is? It's fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Plus, feeling him on the inside, feeling him be powerful inside. I am praying that according to the riches of his glory, doesn't that just sound like a beautiful phrase? The riches of who he is, the riches of his nature, I'm praying you would be able to touch something from the riches of his nature, and the impact would be you'd be strengthened with power in your inner man, in your spirit. You would be strengthened to encounter him more and more. You would be strengthened to know him, to feel him, to walk with him, to enjoy him. Guys, I'm praying that for us. I want for Foreigner Fellowship to believe the Bible, to walk out the Bible, to live righteously, to be lights in a dark world that are filled with the Holy Spirit and know how to encounter God at the drop of a dime. That we know how to encounter the Holy Spirit so that in this life, while we may have trouble, we can go in and out of his presence. We can experience the difficulties because they're coming and they're only going to increase. And we can go right back into his presence and encounter him.
This concludes this teaching from Forerunner Fellowship. For more information about our congregation, visit forerunnerfellowship.org. Thank you.